AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Strong winter storms dropped almost a foot of snow over Portland, Oregon, taking drivers by surprise. KOIN-TV's Liz Birch reports.
After nearly 11 inches unexpectedly dumped on the Rose City Wednesday evening, Thursday, rows of abandoned cars lined Portland streets.
This all icy, and my truck slide, I get in a ditch.
Some people stayed on the road, stranded. Asad Bashir tells me he's been on Northeast 82nd Avenue since yesterday.
Call the tow truck, and they say it might be 10 hours before we get you.
Snow and ice that hit the Midwest has moved into the Northeast, with the storm leaving a lot of power outages behind. Disgraced South Carolina attorney Alec Murdoch takes the stand during his double murder trial, denying that he killed his wife and son in 2021. CBS's Scott McFarlane reports.
His attorneys played Murdoch's 911 call that night in June 2021.
Did they shoot themselves? Oh, no. Hell no.
He testified he'd attempted suicide.
I meant for him to shoot me so I'd be gone.
And acknowledged stealing money from his legal practice.
I was spending so much money on pills.
Prosecutors argue he killed to distract from his financial misdeeds.
On the eve of Russia's launching of an invasion on Ukraine 1 year ago, the U.N. adopts a resolution demanding Russia withdraw from Ukraine. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
Today we refuse to give up on hope. We refuse to give up on the potential for diplomacy, the power of dialogue, and the urgency of peace.
The resolution was adopted with 141 votes in favor. Six countries joined Russia in voting no, with 32 abstentions, including China. Philadelphia police say seven people have been shot in the city's Strawberry Mansion section. Police Commissioner Daniel Outlaw says the victims include a child and five teenagers.
At this point, we're piecing everything together to figure out if this was retaliatory, if some of those victims were intended or not, but it's still really early to tell.
One teen is in critical condition. There's anger in Australia after life-saving bone marrow was left behind on the tarmac of a U.S. airport. Scott Maiman says it was donated for a six-year-old boy.
His mother, Shailene, says it never made it onto the plane.
Because it's unacceptable. He's fought 3.5 years as it is for his life and for someone to be so neglectful.
It's on the next flight to Australia, but because of the delay, it may have to be destroyed if it's deemed no longer good enough.
A recruiting campaign is underway in Britain to find more bell ringers for the coronation of King Charles. The regal event is now less than 3 months away. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You could nominate your D-bag of the year. Got a nominee for us?
There were so many of them, as we can tell. I had to go with the ranked choice system. Okay?
I like the way you think, Rico. Okay. What else you got?
Rojo.
listener poll. I think this nominee for D-bag of the year pretty much sums it up.
Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Earl Ingram.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, anybody who's heard Congresswoman Bobart from Colorado and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, you just have to ask the question, if I'm a Republican, why would I continue to support that foolishness?
Asking the tough questions, searching for the answers we're all looking for. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock, no sour, haha, funny hour. We are back on the no sour, haha, funny power hour. What is it, Greg?
The no sour, fun time, haha, power hour.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome back to the No Sour Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour. Did I get it?
I think you were close.
I think it was close. Closer than I usually am. Welcome back. Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour. We are wrapping up today with some fun, lighthearted topics. How fun was it to have George here?
That was great. What a, just the breadth of knowledge that he has and the institutional knowledge that he has about Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And there are so many other things I wanted to give him a big squeeze for on some of the stories that they've done over the years. Like when the Republicans tried to gut our open records law on the Friday of a July 4th weekend. And I don't know if, I don't remember specifically if that was a JS reporter that broke it, but JS was all over it. And people would never have known about this without reporters.
I know.
And so it makes me very upset when I hear people denigrate the profession, because these people aren't getting rich.
No.
They're not doing this for the money because it's so lucrative. Trust me.
Well, unless you consider Tucker Carlson
that's
a reporter.
Not a reporter. I have a whole different term for him, but we are under FCC rules, so I'll just skip over that one. But legitimate reporters are not in this for the money. They're doing it because...
Especially local reporters.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, it was a delight to have him here. It was a delight to work for him for the year and a half that I got to. And also just the appreciation that he had to take a chance on this whatever it is you want to call the thing that I do, right? That he was like, yeah, let's try this out. And the willingness to experiment and stuff in the attempt to figure it out, right? And to like, what is this going to be? What is this going to look like in the media landscape that we have now as far as delivering the news, knowing that the core function is still to hold people accountable.
Yes.
And not let people get away with. But that's, and I've never heard him say that part before, but it makes perfect sense that 20 years ago, had they tried to pull this Michael Gableman thing, one report would have shut it down.
But that's when people still had shame.
Well, I think there's still a lot of people who have shame. They're just not necessarily in the government. But look at George Santos. Talk about someone who doesn't have any shame.
Well, exactly. That has been embraced now, and I think we can thank the behavior of the previous administration in the White House for making it perfectly acceptable to be caught in blatant lies and just move on from that and pretend, yeah, whatever.
And almost get elected again.
Yeah. And still could, and
is running again.
So I think there's been an embrace of, among some, yeah, I'm a liar. Get over it.
Nothing's going to happen.
No. Who's going to hold me accountable? Who cares? The voters don't care.
All right. Well, if you missed any part of that conversation, I highly recommend going back and listening to it as a podcast. It was a delight. But you can always find our podcast wherever you find podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple. Also, you can always go to asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, where you can find the Listen Live button that gets you to the live stream of the show, or you can go back and listen to and see the show notes for any of our shows. And so moving on to fun, lighthearted topics and debates for today, Thursday, February 23rd. We're going back to the etiquette. New York Magazine on what they think is proper protocol for how you to have small talk, interact with people.
Text.
And so the first one we are coming up with is never ask anyone what their job is.
Really?
They said it's classist and boring. Try three other topics first. I'm guilty of this.
I am too. What do they suggest you start with then? Or did they not give any examples?
I feel like I've seen examples before, and they are much more interesting. I guess you could do like, where did you grow up? Does that mean like, where did you go to school is also classist and boring?
Yes, I would think so. If that's the tack they're taking,
but I'm also genuinely interested. And so if it's not because I'm trying to gauge like where should I put you on the like social hierarchy, and it's because I'm actually interested in what you do. And I don't feel like I agree with this, because think about, and it's different for everyone. Some people work to live and some people live to work.
Sure.
Right. But I like when people ask what I do because I'm excited and proud of what I do. Right. And so if you are passionate about your work, I feel like you're excited to talk about it. And so, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with this one. I don't think it should be the first question out of your mouth, necessarily, in like a small talk,
chit-chatty kind of thing.
Chit-chatty, like dinner party situation. But I don't know. I don't think I agree with this one.
I'm not sure that I do either. Although I could, quite honestly, I couldn't care less where someone went to school. I'm not impressed. I don't care.
I went to a school outside of Boston.
Good. Good for you.
I love people who then be like, oh, like New Hampshire, State and stuff, and just guess everything but Harvard. Because that's the people who don't really want
to
say.
Oh, I
went to Harvard. Because they don't want to sound pretentious, and yet they still sound pretentious by not naming the name of the school that they went to.
Yeah.
The Ivy League school that they went to. But yeah, you're not interested. Again, I feel like I ask out of curiosity, like, oh, where'd you go to school? Where'd you grow up? Trying to find common ground or like commonalities versus, I don't know. Again, is this like a New York thing where it's the social hierarchy coming into play?
Well, I think my attitude about being impressed by where people went to school has changed in the last 4 to 6 years, when I see some of our lawmakers who have graduated from Ivy League schools who are morons.
That's fair. There are very smart people who go to those schools, and there are also very mediocre people who go to those schools.
Oh, you're so much nicer than I am.
All right, next one. Don't feel bad about standing up in the aisle immediately upon the plane landing.
No, you're a schmuck.
Why?
What is the race?
What is the appropriate time to get out of your seat and into the aisle then?
Take a breath. They haven't even opened the doors yet. We all want to get off of the flying tube. You're not that special. Get over yourself.
So you're saying no. You're saying just sit down, wait till the door opens?
Well,
and there can be some kind of movement?
If you're almost in the back, Standing up first isn't going to get you out any faster.
But what if you just want to get up and stretch your legs because you've been like standing? I mean, you've been sitting for so long.
Okay.
And you're like, I feel trapped and now I can finally stand up.
Okay. You can be less schmuck-like if you then will help other people get their stuff out of the overheads.
Oh, all right. Instead of just your stuff?
Yeah. If you're going to be the first one, it's so important for you to be the first one up to get your special magical things, then you can help other people retrieve their special magical things.
So then what is the etiquette as far as getting off the plane? So it's like if you're standing in the aisle behind a row and you have your stuff, do you still wait for everyone in the row ahead of you to get out first and get their stuff down, even though you're sitting waiting with your bag?
It depends. If it's someone with a small child and they have all kinds of stuff, and obviously it's going to take them a little bit, even I don't think they expect you to wait for them. Right?
Yeah.
And if it's a very elderly person, you know, then maybe you want to give them a hand. I'm a big believer in polite.
I know you are.
Trying to be polite.
It is fine, does suck, though. And it's really like just getting off the plane.
I know, and everyone feels like that.
That doesn't bother me so much as far as people who stand up as soon as the plane's off. If they're in the aisle. Yeah. The people that what really bugs me is people who clap when the plane lands. Unless, they did what they're supposed to do.
Well,
it's like clapping at the end of the movie. Stop.
Well, that leads me to end zone dances, but let's not even go there.
Oh, you don't like end zone dances now?
Oh, can you imagine if we all did a victory dance every time we successfully completed a portion of our job? Your waitress comes and delivers your food, and she breaks into a dance.
That's hilarious. I never thought of it
that way. It's part of your job.
Yay. Move on.
Yay.
Move on.
Well done.
That's really funny. All right. Last one for today. Always wink.
What?
That's all it says. Always wink.
Do you want to get slapped?
I'm not a big winker.
I'm not a big winker either, and I think you better be careful how you are distributing said winks.
I feel like I'm like a glance of the eye, kind of like the equivalent of a wink as far as the intention. But I would have never. Always wink as etiquette in 2023.
I find that.
With no context.
Yeah, that's really odd.
You're saying no.
Yes, because it's like blowing kisses.
I do that sometimes.
But you don't just do it randomly, do you? Do you just blow kisses at people randomly?
Randomly, no.
Well, there you go. But this, I mean, they're kind
of Pepe Le Pew.
But they're kind of saying, go wink, you know, go wink freely.
Trying to imagine. I don't even know if Mike's ever winked at me. I don't even know if he can wink.
Does he have eyelids?
I'm going to go ask. Some people can't wink. It's like they go to wink and all they do is blink. They can only do it both at a time. All right. Well, when we come back, what movie do you think would make a great musical? We would love to hear from you. I have some thoughts. Jane, do you have some thoughts of movies you think? Because this has been the trend.
Yes.
They made Groundhog's Day into a musical. They made Pretty Woman into a musical. There's a new one we'll talk about next they're making into a musical. So what do you think would actually make a good musical? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. We'll talk about it when we're back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Such a simple song. Sing it again. The notes never end. This is where I belong. Just the sound of your voice. The light in your eyes. You're so...
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
right.
was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 10 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 21. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night. Lows level off around 17. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
While I'm able to raise Cain, let's be bad. Even though I'm old as Moses, those commandments he proposes, they don't end up in a bed of roses. Let's be bad. Your head is spinning.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are asking, as two fans of the performing arts and of musicals, what movie do you think would make a great Broadway musical? 844-967-2789. I have a couple of ideas, but you said someone already...
Dave from the Shaw texting in again at 844-967-2789. First he said, Jane, I'm going to drive by the studio and wink at you and see what happens. Dave, you're going to have to get really close because I don't have my glasses on and I'll never be able to see you. And he also suggests Donald Trump, the musical. Everything is sung by people who are tone deaf.
Oh, my God. That's really good. That was like, it's almost like Springtime for Hitler.
Yes.
With the producers.
Oh.
Like, we can make this. We can make this work.
It can happen.
I'll never forget, because that was a movie first before it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was a movie before it was on stage.
Yes.
And I think I was... Because for a couple years in a row, I was very spoiled, and my mom took, we would do a mother-daughter trip to New York and see a couple shows.
You lucky kid.
I know. It's one of those things where I think at the time I didn't realize, oh, this is not something that a lot of kids get to do. But looking back, I'm like, wow, that was formative. And I remember going to see Spring Awakening, and I feel like as a 15-year-old, not Spring Awakening.
Producers.
I did see Spring Awakening as well, but the producers. And Springtime for Hitler is the connection. And I'm sure there was jokes then that still went over my head, but I just remember I couldn't believe what was being said. And this was even before Book of Mormon, which
really,
well, yeah, I mean, producers, I think that would have been 2002 when Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick premiered, like,
that sounds right.
The original cast of the remake or whatever. And they were so good. And then Book of Mormon wasn't until 10 years later, 2014. 2013? And so it was a while later, but both of those are kind of the top as far as what I've seen of pushing the envelope on stage when it came to Broadway musicals. But I'm pretty sure someone has the rights to them to this, because I remember the first time I saw Working Girl late. Like, I only saw that after I was almost, I think, 30. And so despite it being an old movie, but I remember the first time seeing Working Girl, and I was like, well, how has this not been made into... It's just the entire plot line and, like the plot points.
Right.
And the, like, everything. I was like, this is like, written itself. Someone just has to write the music. And I'm pretty sure someone has the rights to it, and Cyndi Lauper's supposed to be writing the music for it.
Wow.
And Cyndi Lauper's, who also did Kinky Boots.
Yes.
But that was in, like, 2018, so I don't know what the holdup is. But I still think that would be a good one.
Book of Mormon premiered, by the way, on Broadway in 2011.
Oh, oh, all right. I was a couple years late. But the reason I bring this up is because La La Land is in development to become a Broadway musical.
Well, good, because at least this time around, they'll have people who can sing.
You don't think Emma Stone can sing?
She was better than Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, the white guy who saved jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they change. But I also don't know how well... The other one I thought that would be really fun, but ambitious, was Goonies.
Really? That could be a lot of fun, actually.
And have some, like, a bunch of kids, like, really talented young kids. Think about the pirate ship being on stage and, like, the blocking and some of the actual kind of set design that could go into a movie, like, what the movie was and trying to bring that to stage.
That's got potential.
I think so, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I did see Groundhog Day on stage, and that had some the only redeeming part of that show was the montage in the movie of how many times he tries to off himself,
right?
Because he just wants it to end.
Yes,
it was an entire probably 5 to 10 minute sequence of just like illusions of how he would disappear and reappear, and like how they tricked your eye on stage.
Oh, that's
of him
fascinating.
Like trying to end himself one way, and then all of a sudden he ends up back in his bed, and like all the things they were doing live. That was the memorable part of that show. Everything else was kind of like meh. Mean Girls was good. I did not see Pretty Woman on stage. I'm trying to think of the other more recent ones. Do you have any that you think would be a good musical?
I think it would be really challenging to bring Die Hard to the stage as a musical.
Oh my gosh. Why is Greg not here for this conversation? Greg would definitely see a Die Hard the musical.
Hans Gruber sings and dances. There could be something there.
But is it a Christmas musical then?
Well, you could gear it. Oh, you have the brain of a producer.
The annual, it's like Nutcracker, yeah. Christmas Carol, Die Hard.
Die Hard the musical. You can't miss it.
This year at Milwaukee Repertory Theater, come see Die Hard the musical. Well, I tried. Are you seeing that one because you actually want to see it or just because you think it's funny?
I think it's hilarious.
Okay. Is there any serious ones that you would love to see?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. What do you think? What is your favorite musical?
I love the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, it's so good.
And just the opening song, Hello, is brilliant.
Yeah.
It is. It's brilliant.
So I feel like we have to
Hamilton, of course, because Hamilton is astonishing.
Yeah. Do you think they'll get Hamilton for the Flagmakers?
That'd be great. Lin-Manuel?
Yeah.
You mean?
Sorry. Lin-Manuel.
Just imagine how awesome that would be.
It would be very cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to get to the story we did not get to yesterday, which is putting olive oil in your coffee. Coming soon to a Starbucks near you. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. More than 900,000 customers, meaning a lot more people, now reported in the dark, the result of major winter storms, most of them in the upper Midwest, but some in the Pacific Northwest, where Portland had its second heaviest snow ever, so people improvised.
Stopped at the grocery store, got some shrimp for dinner, and 9 hours later, they did not make it. And my car now smells rather of seafood, and I was mostly hungry.
1 year has passed now since Vladimir Putin sent Russian troops into Ukraine from Kyiv. Correspondent Charlie Daggett looks back.
President Volodymyr Zelensky made it clear he was staying put. Instead, he urged citizens to take up arms, which they did by the thousands. Hastily erected barricades and checkpoints went up everywhere, manned by jittery volunteers with guns drawn.
So a year later, Zelensky is still there. Vladimir Putin is not. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
To As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. Thank you for joining us today during our 1 o'clock hour. We are marching towards the weekend. Got 30 minutes today, 3 hours tomorrow, and then it's basically the end of February, which is crazy.
Isn't it, though? Yeah, it's gone fast.
It's gone very, very fast. Mm-hmm. I got a message during the break on another idea for a musical while you were sleeping.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
I haven't thought about that movie in a very long time.
I haven't either. Sandra Bullock has had a really great career. She has. And it's just a really sweet, sweet film.
Yeah, I really haven't thought about that movie. Is it Bill Pullman?
Bill Pullman.
Who's the other? There's one. Is Bill Pullman? Who's the other guy?
Oh, we keep confusing these.
It's Bill Pullman. And then is it the British guy from My Best Friend's Wedding? Is he in that?
No. Bill Pullman, yes, is correct for While You Were Sleeping.
I know, but isn't there another? Because isn't that the point that she's pretending that she's engaged
to his brother.
His brother, who plays his brother, that's in a coma.
Handsome, dark-haired guy. Bill Paxton is the other one you're thinking of.
Bill, oh, okay. Bill Pullman, also in Newsies.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
also in Newsies. And also, Milwaukee Public Library just did a TikTok on, then they used the Newsies.
Peter Gallagher. Oh. In While You Were Sleeping.
Yes.
Sandy, Bill Pullman, Peter Gallagher.
Young Peter Gallagher, too.
Oh, yeah.
When very handsome.
Peter Boyle, Jack Warden. It's really a great flick.
It is a good cast. All right. That was a good suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Olive oil in your coffee. Yes or no? Would you try it?
Can I still have cream in it?
I think you can do whatever you want with it.
Sure, I'll try it.
So, supposedly, I mean, and I've always heard of bulletproof coffee, which, as I said yesterday when Greg was here, it's coffee. I actually have never had it, but people for years, like, there's people who swear by this.
I have never heard of this.
So bulletproof coffee, I think you can maybe buy it, but you can also make it yourself, where it's one cup of brewed organic coffee, 1 to 2 tablespoons of Kerrygold Irish butter, 2 tablespoons of coconut oil, 1 teaspoon of raw cacao powder, a pinch of Himalayan salt, and a dash of organic cinnamon. And you blend it all together. So it's like a high-calorie drink that's supposed to replace breakfast, but it's supposed to give you more energy. It's supposed to, like, reduce brain fog. It's supposed to do all this stuff. So when I saw this headline about Starbucks and Italy and olive oil and coffee, my mind went to that. But apparently now the world's largest coffee chain says it's going to launch a line of olive oil infused drinks, first in Italy. And Howard Schultz says olive oil's unexpected velvety, buttery flavor enhanced the coffee and lingers beautifully on the palate.
Do we have to get a coffee sommelier now?
I mean, I'm sure those exist. As far as, because you know what's happening right now up in Green Bay is the World Cheese Contest.
Which I
got to go to in Madison last year. And that's basically what these guys are. It's cheese sommeliers from around the world.
Yeah.
And the way that the process of tasting the cheese and
smelling,
cutting the cheese and like all of the, and then they have to spit it out so they don't get too full, just like the sommeliers spit out the wine so they don't get too drunk. It's a thing. And so I'm sure this exists for coffee as well. But so Starbucks currently has around 20 stores in Italy. And, you know, and he was, so this is where this is going to start. And I guess, I don't know if this is an Italian thing, though. Obviously, olive oil is very Italian.
And Greek.
And Greek in the Mediterranean area in general. But I don't know if this is what, were Italians asking for this?
Baffled.
I'm sure it's going to taste fine. Like, I'm sure, like, they've, because it's not just like, oh, let's put the olive oil next to the cream on the little counter where there's all the different types of milks and then the some olive oil and all the different types of sugar. I think it's it's going to be a recipe that the barista makes, but I don't want to knock it till I try it. Cause like I said, the bulletproof coffee is very popular, but it does seem different.
For me, I think I'm just anti-infusion.
What does that mean?
Because that just seems like a stupid trend to me. It's infused.
Like any?
It's infused with lavender and rosemary oil.
If it's like gin? Like infused gin with different herbs? No?
No.
Are you not a gin drinker?
No.
What's your go-to liquor?
I don't really drink liquor
anymore.
So you
just do wine?
I drink wine. I will do a vodka.
Which tastes like nothing.
Pretty much.
If it's good vodka, you know it's good when it tastes like nothing.
Yes, exactly. I don't mind during the winter to have a nice brandy on the rocks.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, I'm not much of a liquor drinker anymore. To me, the whole infusion thing, it just sounds like a trendy thing. Let's see if we can get this to catch on. and people will spend more money.
Charge $7 for it.
Yes, because we put basil in it.
Also, because olive oil is not cheap.
No, it's not. Not good olive oil.
And so, you know, the margins they make on a $4 venti drip coffee that costs them cents to make.
Yep.
I don't know how much, because what do you think? This is going to be like $8 for one of these drinks?
Oh, at least.
But I don't know when it's coming to the U.S. It's starting in Italy. It'll probably eventually make its way here. And, it, you know, olive oil is good for you. So maybe, who knows, maybe this will be the next big thing. But the other thing, again, something that we should have talked about with Greg yesterday, we kind of missed the boat on this, but this was in January. Did you hear about this Tom Hanks Diet Coke and champagne drink?
No.
So apparently he was on Colbert. I think it was on Stephen Colbert's show. And you would never think of pairing Diet Coke with champagne.
Never.
Like instead of a mimosa, swap out the orange juice with Diet Coke. So Tom Hanks was on this is the name of it, which actually is a pretty good name, the Diet Cocaine. But it's spelled C-O-K-A-G-N-E. Like champagne. So yeah, it was Stephen Colbert on The Late Show. And he said, I'm not a big drinker. I don't drink, so I usually have a Diet Coke, he said, noting that for this particular occasion, champagne was brought around. And I said, oh, give me a shot of champagne in there for crying out loud. And he just put champagne in the Diet Coke. And he said it was delicious. And now Greg Bach, that's what he drinks. We had a meeting the other day, and I went to the Laughing Tap. And it was the middle of the day. I was like, I can't have a beer right now.
Right.
I have to work to do. And so I had an NA beer, and he poured himself a little, you know, like a little baby champagne guy and a Diet Coke. And I was like, what are you drinking? And he sold me on it. So now I guess I have to try this. But sometimes you never know. You got to be adventurous to find the gold.
Do you use just a really cheap champagne?
I think you probably can get away with
cheap. You're not going to spend, you know, you're not going to get a bottle of Dom Perignon and cut it with Diet Coke.
No, it's probably Andres is probably can cut it. But I don't know. So that's something to try after Starbucks olive oil.
In your coffee.
In your coffee. But then this came out this morning, and I know you're going to have a conniption. Is that conniption?
Conniption.
Conniption. That's one of those words that I've heard my entire life, and I actually don't know if I could spell it. Conniption. Thank you. No cow needed. Oat and soy can be called milk. FDA says.
It was only a matter of time until big soy and big oat.
I was going to say, what lobbyists do you think were involved in this?
It was the oil, the oat lobby.
Because you're in the camp of it has to be called juice.
Yes. It's not milk.
Because milk comes from a teat.
Yes.
And this stuff comes from a plant. Thus, yes. Juice.
It's juice. It's not milk. There's nothing milk-like about it. Nothing.
It's in color a little bit.
Is that natural color or is that fake coloring?
I've never made oat milk at home, so I don't know. I think that's probably natural. With soy milk and almond milk, I have no idea what the natural color would be versus let's make it white so it looks like milk.
I just can't imagine the farmers are going to be, dairy farmers are going to be very happy about this.
Because you think it's cutting into their profits? Well, so basically soy, oat, almond, and other drinks that build themselves as milk can keep using the name according to a draft of federal rules released on Wednesday. And so the FDA officials issued guidance that say plant-based beverages don't pretend to be from dairy animals and that U.S. consumers aren't confused by the difference.
Well, no, I don't think they're confused by the difference, but I still think it's misappropriating the term.
And you're not wrong. Dairy producers for years have called for the FDA to crack down on plant-based drinks and other products that they say masquerade as animal-based foods and cloud the real meaning of milk.
Thank you, dairy farmers of America.
But apparently their lobby, not as strong as the soy, almond, and oat lobby.
Big soy, big oat. Look out.
And so, but I guess that's not even, In recent years, the number of plant-based drinks has exploded. I think this is because a lot of people are realizing that dairy is not always, even if you're not lactose intolerant, dairy can be hard on your system. And so people are trying to find alternatives to put in their coffee or their cereal or their smoothies or whatever. And so, but think about it. There's cashew milk, coconut milk, hemp milk, quinoa-based milk, almond milk, soy milk, oat milk. And really, the only way you make oat milk is you basically put, because I looked this up because I was like, oh, how much would it be like the
difference to make your own?
To make your own. Because almond milk, I think, is expensive. You think about buying, almonds are not cheap.
No, they're not.
Buying nuts from Trader Joe's, like, is expensive. And, but, you know, big things of old-fashioned oats from Costco, not so much. And so really all you have to do to make your own oat milk is soak it in a bunch of water. I think you then blend it and then you strain it. And that's oat milk. That's it.
That sounds revolting.
It's basically just water soaked in oats for a little while and then strained. And so, yeah, I mean, at that point, when you put it that way, a glass of milk does sound a lot more appealing.
A little bit better.
But yeah, I thought that would kind of rile you up a little bit because I know you're adamant about us calling it juice instead of milk.
It's not milk. And I do this for the dairy farmers of America.
Of course. You do this for Wisconsin.
Well, someone has to make a stand.
Someone has to do it. So out of the things that we listed, the bulletproof coffee.
Which sounds pretty tasty, actually. It does. But it's got to be 9,000 calories.
Oh, no. Two tablespoons of butter isn't 9,000 calories.
Oof.
I mean, so yeah. But I think a frappuccino is probably just as many calories as a bulletproof coffee.
Well, you make a good point there.
So out of bulletproof coffee, coffee with olive oil in it, Diet Coke with champagne in it, or oat milk, rank them 1 through 4 of your preference of drinking.
Of drinking them?
Yes.
Okay, I'll start with the bulletproof.
Okay.
And then I'll go to the olive oil.
Okay.
What's left?
Diet Coke with champagne.
Sure.
The Diet Cocaine.
Okay, we'll do that third.
And then oat milk.
Yeah, that's last.
That's last?
Definitely.
I'm going to bring you some tomorrow. I'll bring you one of the four tomorrow, and we'll do a taste test on air.
Oh, there's a tease.
There you go. All right, well, when we come back, we were going to wrap up today's show. Don't go anywhere. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe. New time, 3 to 6 p.m. And Dom.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many snowblowers, snow shovels, and snowmobiles are being sold as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 10 overnight under mainly cloudy skies. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs level off around 21. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 17. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She's Jane Matinere, and some breaking news.
Breaking news. And again, thanks to Dave and the Shaw for texting this in and giving us a heads up about this. Bill Glover in the journal Sentinel reporting that a parking structure at Bayshore Mall in Glendale partially collapsed this afternoon. There are about 8 fire trucks, numerous other rescue vehicles there. They're trying to dig out some 10 feet of snow that was piled up in the collapsed area of that garage. Bayshore officials say they are aware of a partial collapse on the second floor of the Silver Spring parking garage. Glendale Fire and Police currently responding. Employees who work on the park on the second floor, rather, can't access their vehicles at this time. I am not seeing any reports of any injuries, which would be really good news. Not that this is a good thing, but hopefully no one has been hurt.
Yeah. That's wild.
Well, think about how heavy, again, the moisture content in the snow that we got yesterday. It's like concrete.
It's heavy. Yeah. At the break, I was looking, and my sister-in-law said she tried to go plow, and she's like, it is heavy.
It's heavy.
Slush.
And just as a reminder, too, folks, tomorrow it's only going to be in the teens. So if you don't get it off today,
it's going to be ice tomorrow.
It's going to be rock solid tomorrow. So just keep that in mind. Granted, again, I think on Sunday it's going to be in the 30s, but you don't want your mailman to slip and hurt himself or anybody else who's walking in front of your house.
Well, and then other news, former governor, Wisconsin governor, Tony Earle died.
He did.
And so this was before my time. I think I looked up his term, and I think he ended his term in 87, which I would have been one.
Okay.
So, but what do you remember about him?
I remember that he was a big environmentalist, and I believe that he was, in the early days, a supporter of the gay and LGBTQ community.
Which would have been, at that time,
pretty
especially
unusual.
Especially in Wisconsin. It's one thing for like Harvey Milk in San Francisco to be a leading
voice
for gay rights, but in Wisconsin, in the 80s, when I think a lot of people were still very closeted... that would have been pretty unique as far as, I mean, it also just goes to show at times when Wisconsin was a much more progressive place than it is currently, as far as people we elected, socialist mayors, Bob La Follette,
right?
You know, one of the places that being a laboratory of democracy for a lot of the, you know, unemployment insurance and kindergarten and a lot of things that the rest of the country then went on to adopt because we're like, oh, it's good to help your citizens. But, you know, things change.
One other newsworthy thing while we're going down this path. Really useful website, everybody, 511wi.gov. If you ever want to check on road conditions across the state, we still have about 15 accidents that are scattered all over the place. We have one near Black River Falls, Toma, Reedsburg, Baraboo, Madison, Fond du Lac, Appleton, Green Bay, some around Milwaukee, Janesville. A lot of these are out of the way and off on the shoulder, but it's just indicative that conditions still are not necessarily optimal. So please, you know, watch your speeds. Be careful.
Always be careful. If your windshield wipers are on, your lights should be on. It's like the tagline for the show now.
That's so wise of you, Kristen Bright.
I do love, I think that was probably one of the funniest things that Alex Lazary said in the 11 o'clock hour, talking about the potential of having them putting a bid in to have the All-Star game here. You're like, who doesn't want to come to Wisconsin in February? As we spent the last couple days giving road updates and stay off the road.
Yeah, stay home. Just stay home. Geez. Don't go anywhere. But come to Milwaukee.
But come to here.
You're going to love it.
Spend money here in the winter.
You need to buy a coat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come to Milwaukee. Buy some boots and gloves.
Yeah. So I was going to say, maybe some galoshes.
Yeah, that too.
All right. Well, tomorrow we have a very fun show. I found this. I'm so interested to talk to this woman. So her name's Tammy Pfeiffer, and she started something called the Dignity Index, which is giving politicians a score on their dignity as far as how civil they are in their conduct. And I think everyone would benefit from that by a lot. So she's So she's going to be here at noon to talk about the Dignity Index.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah. I think I found it's out of Utah, which, you know, they're very nice out, the Mormons, very nice. And so I'm excited to talk to her. Then State Senator Keller Royce is going to be here at 12:30, talk about budget stuff, talk about joint finance, because she sits on the Joint Finance Committee. And then Matt Miller is going to be back, pop culture. The Cocaine Bear comes out, so I think he has thoughts on that.
That's all over my Twitter feed. I can't get away from it now. I know I could block it, but...
But I think it's... I really haven't seen that much about it besides headlines of that this exists as a thing. I have not seen a trailer for this. It's a documentary?
I don't think so.
It's... I think it might... It's about a bear that's like, does cocaine, right?
I think it's a bunch of drug dealers who were trying to get away from a bear who threw cocaine, and then the bear ingested the cocaine.
Oh, is that what it is?
I'm guessing. Give me one moment to use.
So you look at that, but so it's going to be a bear-themed episode of having that here, because we're going to talk about the Cocaine Bear movie, but then we're also going to talk about the Winnie the Pooh horror movie that's coming out.
Oh, jeez.
And what, like, IP infringement, because I'm pretty sure Disney did not okay this movie for them to be like, yeah, turn Winnie the Pooh into an axe murderer.
According to IMDb... Cocaine Bear, a 500-pound black bear, consumes a significant amount of cocaine and embarks on a drug-fueled rampage. An eccentric gathering of cops, criminals, tourists, and teenagers assemble in a Georgia forest, directed by Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, gosh.
Who did Pitch Perfect.
So this is going to be like Snakes on a Plane.
I would imagine.
That's what it sounds like. That,
yeah, I think that's a fair guess.
All right, well, Matt will be here tomorrow to tell us all about it. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes Show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Come back tomorrow at 11. Everybody will know it. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm delirious. Yeah, yeah.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Jim Santel for just a few more minutes. As you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. You think that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law.
Letitia James, she's doing a civil case, right? This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood.
It is, yes.
Normally, so, I leave the being wrong to Dom.
Right?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.